back and forth with him on Twitter, and I've been praying for him with the church up there and everything. And you came from Brother Machete's church, right? I call him Machete. Me and him have something, a little bit about that, but he's still alive and kicking. Amen?
Well, he retired.
Yeah.
His son is the pastor of our church.
Yeah.
Now, so he went to Third Baptist Church, the Song Christian
Church,
and he's like up and out.
Oh, yeah. Right. I'm telling you, in the city, when you go to preach there, they have to park your car and somebody guards your car. I mean, tough. It's not for the faint of heart up there. Amen. Ushers were hitmen and bouncers too, right? That was the responsibility. Packing. Amen. Amen. And man, I'll tell you what, just an exciting church, exciting preacher. Inner city. You just can't imagine. And Brother Pinichetti has preachers and missionaries all over that have come out of that church. And just a tremendous, tremendous testimony. Good to have you folks. Make yourselves at home. We don't bite too bad, too much, right? Amen. I drink coffee. We call coffee here holy water because it differentiates us from Mormons. So anyhow, thanks for introducing yourself. Pray for me and it gets fast when we're going through the book of Esther. And last week's message, our last Sunday, this past Sunday's message was, I mean it just doesn't slow down, and it's back and forth. And it's like the kids used to say, it's getting gooder. But pray for me as I put it together. I got a couple. There's so much there, I just want to make sure I go the right way on Sunday morning. Amen. Would you do that?
Amen.
And that'll be a blessing to you. Acts chapter 1. I know I mentioned a lot about this. Tim even prayed about it in his opening prayer. But we need to be reminded of this. Really, we really need to remind ourselves daily concerning the subject that we're going to look at tonight briefly. And do pray for the preacher's conference. After we finish, we're going to do a video and get it out. We have probably 12 to 14 men from the north and the south and the Midwest coming, They're not going to lecture on how to preach, and they're not going to wax eloquent on how to preach. I said, if you're going to come, and I need to have your promise, you're going to show us how you do what you do. So they're going to open up and say, this is how I prepare to preach the word to my people. This is how I prepare to preach the word to young people. This is how I prepare to preach and evangelistic. We have one fellow that's going to teach on preaching the gospel. We have so many people that are so off on receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people say, okay, you need to repent and trust. And some people say you need to repent and have faith. And some people say you need to believe and call. Now, it's not enough to say it's all the same. You know, we talk about repentance, and I know I'm getting off track, but I'm the preacher. I can do that, right?
Amen.
But you have the gospel. And what it does to the soul. Okay? What the gospel does, it saves. The death, burial, and resurrection. But where we get in trouble is we mix it with what it produces. Do you understand what I'm saying? Salvation is all of God. It's all of God. When you put you in it, you've messed up. You say, well, I changed my mind. No, God changed your mind. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit changed your mind. See? So when you and that's a problem with getting into the epistles, and we looked at studying the Bible on Sunday night for several weeks. You have to know who it's talking to. And what it's talking about. And so there's a difference, and we need to differentiate. The gospel saves. What the gospel does is it saves. It's a death, burial, and resurrection. It's the power of God unto salvation. But what it produces and should produce is over here. Okay? What it produces cannot change what's over here. That's why we're hard on our relatives when they get saved. We say, well, you know, they got saved, but I don't know if it took. Yeah, that's right. You're not God.
Amen.
It's an inside job. And so I see all these people bragging about everybody getting saved, and I'm saying, boy, they have a lot of discipleship to do. Because that's where we fail, and that's where we fail big time. And so, anyhow, why'd y'all get me off on that? Okay, so tonight I want us to think about in the book of Acts, and when I preached the series "He That Is Spiritual," we looked at this. But look at chapter 1 of Acts, and look at verse 4 and 5. It says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For I truly baptize with water, but ye shall be, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't baptize anybody. Okay? So but you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Now, this is the final command to these disciples before the Lord ascends into heaven. It's very important. What he's talking about concerning the promise of the Father is something that has to do with us when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and it's a pleasure and a joy that we have because we're saved. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28 that we're to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have what? Commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. But now, just before his ascension, he told them, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. He said, you need to wait. So now there's a problem, because you got these disciples, a ragtag group that God put together, and they still have no idea. I mean, these guys weren't walking around like theologues. They were just along for the ride, and they're still trying to figure it out. And he says, I want you to wait here. So they have to make a decision. And that decision is they have to obey. And that's a big decision, and that's a big key to the successful Christian. The deepest it gets for the Christian is just obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so we get here, and what was the promise of the Father? What is he talking about? He's talking about the promise of the Father. And he's talking about where he tells these disciples. He said you need to wait in Jerusalem, and he says you don't need to. He says in chapter 24 of Luke in verse 49. Listen, and behold, I send the promise of my Father, but tarry. That means to wait. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And so there's the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon his people. It's amazing. I've told you in the last few days, man, you get in the Old Testament And they call them the patriarchs, but I'll tell you what, those people that God used in the Old Testament, they were not perfect people. They were sinners. And God used them. God used Jacob. What a rascal. God used Rahab the harlot. Unbelievable. God used these people. And we've seen in Esther where God used the dynasty of Persia to preserve God's children. And so we see here that the Holy Spirit would come upon folks. It was given to Joel the prophet. It was proclaimed by John the Baptist. The Lord himself told us about the promise of the Father. And it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Now, the Lord told us that he would baptize. In verse 5, he said he would baptize. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, it's important that we understand what that means, because in your study of the Bible, you know, you have these guys. He says, "Yes, you're going to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost," you know, and all that kind of stuff. And they talk about that. Listen, baptism with water, and this baptism is talking about two different things. Okay. It's not talking about an ordinance. It's talking about a historical moment in time that God was going to give us something special. Did you ever have your parents promise you something? And they had a plan, they were going to get you, maybe it was your birthday or maybe it was your graduation, but they're going to promise you something and you just couldn't wait. Listen. I don't know what these fellows were saying. I know Peter was probably going, you know, how he was. But these guys, they had to wait and tarry in Jerusalem, and he was going to baptize them. And what it meant is he's going to completely indwell us with his Spirit. That's what he's going to get. He's going to give us everything. He's going to give us all the Spirit. And in that, Brother Frank, that's an awesome thought, because the Bible says the Father and the Son and the Spirit, these three are one. And if we have the Spirit, we have the Son and the Father.
Amen.
So if the Spirit's here, so is God and so is the Son.
Amen.
I mean, we get the whole package. Right? I mean, theologians walk around, we like to divide it. Well, the Holy Spirit's doing his thing here, and Jesus is doing his thing over here, and God's up there in heaven looking down over with his long gray beard with a star hat and seeing what's going on. No, that's not what's happening. They're one. They're one. That's why powerful things happen when God is lifted up, when his word is preached. Now, notice, he'll baptize them all. And what it's talking about is that every saved person, according to the Word of God, that has received Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, before that time and at that time and after that time, is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
At that moment. And so he would, notice it says, it teaches us he'll live within. Now, John chapter 14, I love this portion of Scripture. I love 14, 15, and 16 in John. Beautiful chapters. But chapter 14 and verse 16 says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of what? Truth. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye shall know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be" what? If you want to mark your Bible, "he dwelleth with you," that's Old Testament. "Shall be in you," that's after Acts chapter 2. "Shall be in you." Okay? The Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, and they were filled They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. By the way, that's foreign languages, not a bunch of babble that nobody can understand. And you need to have an why in the Bible would they say you need an interpreter? Why in the world would they say you need an interpreter if it's going to be some crazy babble? I told you I was down at the Dominican Republic, and I took two Bibles, and Brother Steve Sidler was interpreting, and I think it was Thursday night. I was all excited because a bunch of people were there, and I got to talking and not stopping for him to interpret. So I'm talking, and they're all looking all confused, and I look over, and he's sitting down because he couldn't keep up with me. He couldn't interpret. So I said, okay, let's back up. And I just got excited. But listen, this is crazy. Whole movements have been built on a misinterpretation of this scripture, and it's foreign languages. Okay, these guys, these fishermen, these guys that came from all walks of life. They didn't go to college for study. They didn't have Babel. They didn't learn it. But the Holy Spirit came down. That's powerful. I want to talk to the 12 disciples when I get to heaven. I said, what was that like that day? Well, man, I was out there and I began to try to give the gospel, and it came out in another language. And they understood and they got saved. And you get a tired look in his face. What's that tired look in your face? Well, you ever try to baptize 3,000 people? Amen? 3,000 people were baptized. And that didn't happen because they understood. They got saved because they understood. You understand? We are to teach, the Bible says, the gospel. You cannot teach somebody if they can't understand. So this is not a bunch of babble. And so they were able to speak in other tongues, not unknown tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit's powerful. Don't think that you can't go through the day tomorrow and get that thing done that you need to get done that you think is insurmountable. The Holy Spirit can work and give you the power. So he would come and live within. Look at John chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 8 and 9. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What's that mean? Okay, that's they're lost. That's the natural man. Okay? Now, but ye are not in the flesh, but what? In the what? If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, he says, let me clarify something. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, he couldn't say that back in chapter 2. See? Now, let me just say, somebody may be saved and have the Spirit of God. They may not know it and understand it. They need to be taught.
That's right.
Amen? And so, the Spirit of God it lives within. And then he would empower them all. Verse 8 of chapter 1 in Acts. But ye shall receive power after you drink a monster drink. Is that what it says? You shall receive power when you got so much money in the bank. You shall receive power after you climb that corporate ladder. Is that what it says? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be what? It's amazing to me that people claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit and they don't tell other people about Jesus. I'm a spiritual person. Okay, well, tell somebody about it.
Amen.
I was talking to the guys working with this past week. This just came to my mind, Miss Jennifer. I don't know where it came from, but I said, you know, Matt Jesus would look good on you. What do you mean? He said, you talking about church? I said, no. You talking about religion? I said, no. You know, people need to know. Huh? When Paul found somebody, he says, I was on the road to Damascus. There was a light. Jesus saved me. I mean, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And there he went. He gave his testimony. Everywhere he went, he told people. That's how churches got started. And so the Holy Spirit, empowered them. And then, why did they wait for the promise? Why did they wait for the promise? Because God told them to. That's as deep as it gets. Now, I can give you a calendar on Pentecost. I can tell you what they had to do at Pentecost. And you'd be snoring in about 5 minutes. I mean, there's a lot of things went on at the Feast of Pentecost, and there were people there. God knew. Just imagine that. He knew that all those people would be there from everywhere. I mean, I love when the plan comes together. Amen?
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
And here they come, and listen, these people, Frank, had to be obedient to God. Simple obedience and obey God and stay there. Now, I got a problem with this country. In particular, McDonald's. When I go to the drive-thru and they send me to a parking space, would you pull into parking place number one? And I start to say something, Pam says, don't say anything, they'll spit on your food. I mean, it's a drive-through. Brother, that bothers me. And those people are in there with their phones. They're in there going, hey, what you doing? And everybody's talking, and they're just moving slow. I'm sitting there with my card. Drive-through. You know, if Congress wants to do something about something, they need to change that. The Holy Spirit, those fellows just needed to obey. Imagine if they didn't. I'm glad they did. Imagine if they didn't. I mean they did. But the reason I say imagine if they didn't, because maybe we miss a lot of powerful happenings in our churches and in our families and our lives because we won't obey. We won't wait.
Wow.
Maybe. Possible. I got this, God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, I got this, and we're going to make a mess of it. And I got to tell you something. In the last days, in the last few days and weeks and months, I've seen some things happening in churches and people messing with God's church. And there's no Holy Spirit anywhere around that. I'm talking about preachers, I'm talking about people, I'm talking about everybody. People messing with the Lord's bride. This is a serious place to God. And we as a church family do not want to get ahead of God. Don't get ahead of God in your life. Well, I think I ought to do this. I think I ought to do this. I think I ought to do this. And all the time, the Holy Spirit's tapping on the shoulder and says, hey, let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. And so they waited. They waited. Now, do we have to wait? First of all, what was the promise? Why did they have to wait? And do we have to wait? Well, I can tell you, we don't have to wait on the Spirit to indwell us because He's there. Now, you may have turned down the volume button with your sin, with your hard-heartedness, with your bitterness, with your unwillingness to obey God. Patrick calls me sometimes, Darren, he says, Dad, my son pastors in Asheville, he says, Dad, why is this guy doing this? I don't know. Well, he's doing this and this and this. I said, it probably has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He probably hadn't checked in. Pray for him that he does.
Amen.
I thought you were talking about the preacher's camp. I have been brokenhearted. My wife will tell you, I discussed this with her. I've been brokenhearted with some things people say from a pulpit. I mean, on purpose. I mean, I've laid some eggs. We all do. But I'm talking about getting on purpose. Brother Arnold doesn't come here to hear a bunch of junk. He needs the Word.
Amen.
He still wants the Word.
Amen.
90-something. I mean, he's real old. Still needs the Word of God. It doesn't get any older. It's always good. But some of the things we address, I don't need to talk about what goes on downtown. We need to pray for them. I don't need to talk about the latest this or latest that. I like that song, Let's Talk About Jesus. Amen? But the Holy Spirit, things need to be said with the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I appreciate you folks praying for me before I preach that God fill me with the Holy Spirit. It reminds me, puts me on notice.
Amen?
Amen. And you need that. And so we need to be sensitive. You remember, we don't have to wait on the Holy Spirit to indwell us. We don't have to wait on the Holy Spirit to indwell. He's indwell. If you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
He indwelt you that day.
Amen.
He indwelt you that day. And then we do have to wait on the Holy Spirit in our lives. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the what? Holy Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We see Paul talks about three people, the spiritual, the natural, the spiritual, and the carnal. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must be emptied of self. He must increase, but I must decrease. Paul said, I die daily. What are you talking about? He's talking about self dies so the Lord can live through him.
Amen.
That's a filling of the Spirit. A spiritual person is a person that's filled with the Spirit. So we are either spiritual or not spiritual. There's no in between. I'm not one of these people that believes in the perfect and the permissive will of God. You're either in or out. You say, where do you get that? Well, God says, let your nay be nay and your yea be yea. And there's no in between. So I have to choose to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need to ask God to fill me with the Spirit. I need to ask the Spirit for this filling. I don't want to grieve Him. I don't want to quench Him. But then, do we have to wait for the Spirit to empower us? And I believe the Bible teaches that we need to make preparation. We all of us make preparation in our heads. We put things together. We know how to plan things. But we're not prepped in our heart, filled with the Spirit. You remember Paul in Acts chapter 16? You remember he was getting ready. Ultimately, the church started to Philippi. Are you with me? He wanted to go to another town. And the Bible clearly says the Spirit would not let them. Now that portion of Scripture captivates me, because we as Christians, we look at what God wants us to do. We look at the program and then we put the Bible down. We forget about prepping with the Holy Spirit and we go do our thing. And we might be in the wrong place. Why do missionaries go to the field and in a year they're home?
Oh, wow.
Why do people start a church and in 9 months they're gone?
Right.
Why do people start teaching a Sunday school and 2 weeks later they quit? Because they did not first check with the Spirit. They need to be Spirit-led. This is not some Baptist mumbo-jumbo. You folks know what I'm talking about. You have been in church services where the Spirit of God came down. You have been out talking to somebody about the Lord where the Spirit of God came down and used the Scripture. And I've been preaching in services before, and it looked like bees were all over the people. People were moving all over the place, and that wasn't me. That wasn't me. And it wasn't the temperature. Everything was cool. It was the Spirit. And the Spirit will make people uneasy. Yeah. So what I'm saying tonight, what I want to challenge you with as we finish tonight is this. We have all the Holy Spirit will ever have. Okay? If you didn't start the week with the Spirit, let's finish with the Spirit. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you bless the invitation time. Help us to get real about this thing of being filled with the Spirit. Help us not to be the fakers. Faking it gets old. But Lord, we just pray that you would bless as your people do business with you in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. If God spoke to you, you want to get along with Him. Amen. You may be seated. Let's get a couple ushers. Grab a plate. Let's give as the Lord directs. Father, bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, don't forget, Sunday, invite folks. And I know you're working on folks. Bring them lost, saved. And we'll have a good time on Sunday. Be praying for Missions Month. Brother Larson is down at Independent this week teaching church planning. He'll be with us. You want to make sure you're here. The following Sunday, I can't remember the fellow's name right offhand, but he was a missionary in Cameroon, and so we're gonna try to get some Cameroon food here and have a good time with that. And we got a couple church planters coming, and on the last two Sundays of the month, and so let's pray for that. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand to be dismissed. Good to see you. Are you going to stop back by and see the grandkids on the way back?
No, probably. I was just down there a couple of weeks ago, and actually when I was on vacation, he allowed me to take him for the week, like Tuesday to Monday.
He allowed you?
Yeah.
He gave a vacation for him. Amen.
And that was a blessing. I have a house down in the village, not too far from Cape May, and you can look very overnight.
Hey, good. Sounds great. Well, listen, good to see everybody. And let's pray for each other. And we'll see you on Sunday, Lord willing. Brother Pete, will you close for us in prayer?